Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. This audio report is brought to you by www.dnewman.org. I'm Dan Newman. Thanks so much for joining in. We've got some very, very important topics to discuss with you today. They're very applicable in what's going on in our nation around us. Let me give you a little background of what we're all about. We report on things of the United States, often of places around the world that have business dealings, political dealings, social dealings with the United States, but they're all applicable to me and you. And sometimes you'll hear a bit of a different perspective than you'll hear from the mainstream media. That's CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and all of the other major networks, radio and television, and of course the New York Times, the Washington Post, and other periodicals. They carry a mainstream approach at their reporting. We don't have that here. We'll look into all of the applicable stories. We'll find a perspective that may not be mainstream, but it's always going to be based on fact, interjected by some particular thoughts and perspectives of yours truly. And today we've got a couple of those topics that we want to share with you and discuss with you. The first one, sexual harassment. It is a horrible thing. It's happened throughout time ever since there have been men and women. Those women often have been subject to sexual harassment by men. And let's just face it, there's no excuse for it, but it happens. Why does it happen? It happens because men are men and women are women. And men basically are attracted to women. And throughout the world, there are different values placed on the beauty of women, the attraction of women for men. And sexual harassment may vary from country to country, but basically, the act of harassment is pretty much the same. It has some variations, but it boils down to the same thing, that attraction. Of course, currently in our news, most recently in our news, is the special senatorial election in Alabama in which Doug Jones ran against Judge Roy Moore. Roy Moore, a longtime Alabama politician running for Senate, and that was to replace the seat vacated by Jeff Sessions, who was a 25-year Alabama senator that left his office, resigned his office, to become the U.S. Attorney General under President Donald Trump. And in the midst of this, Judge Roy Moore has been accused by a number of women of sexual harassment of various kinds over a long period of time, and allegations they are, and allegations today, they remain. Pretty seedy stuff he was actually accused of doing for some of these women, things that he said, acts that he undertook. And in all of that, of course, it's almost like, and I say this often, explaining how tough it is to overcome something like that. It's almost like you ask a guy who you may know in a public setting, "Hey, Joe, when did you stop beating your wife?" Well, it doesn't matter if Joe was beating his wife or not. When you throw that out there as a question, anybody and everybody that hears that question is going to automatically assume that Joe beats his wife, or at least he did. And it doesn't matter what Joe says or how he replies, that's thrown out there. It sticks in people's minds. The same thing about the sexual harassment accusations against Judge Roy Moore. Now, I am not here to weigh in on the validity of any of those. And please don't think at all that I am excusing in any way any acts of sexual harassment. But what's happened here is a really slippery slope has been walked on, and I don't know that we'll ever come back from it, because sexual harassment in its current form simply ignores the long-standing difference between the United States and other countries. If you remember, our forefathers, those that came over on the boats from Western Europe, one of the big reasons they came is because in their country, it didn't matter if someone was guilty of a crime or what they were accused of. Made no difference to authorities. If the authorities, the people in charge, accused someone of doing something, might as well have done it even if they didn't. There was no real justice. And so one of the fundamental premises of the legal system in the United States that was established back when the U.S. Constitution was written was the presumption of innocence. Lady Liberty really is blind, or at least formerly was blind, at the founding of our nation and the penning of the U.S. Constitution. Lady Liberty was blind. In other words, no one in criminal law is guilty of a crime until they're proven to be guilty. You're basically innocent until proven guilty. Well, in this sexual harassment environment in which we find ourselves, that's no longer the case. So in the court of public opinion, Judge Roy Moore was guilty as charged. Not only Roy Moore, Senator Al Franken from Minnesota, longtime comedian, you remember his funny bits on Saturday Night Live from years ago. As a senator, several women stepped forward, and there were pictures of some of the sexual acts that he was accused of that kind of backed that up. Well, of course, the Democrat Party weighed in, and they forced Al Franken to resign, although as of this podcast, he has not yet left office. He announced that he was going to. And others have been accused and have left positions of power. Others are pending. And it seems in the current environment, especially the political environment in Washington, D.C., acts of sexual harassment, accusations of sexual harassment are really taking over the news cycle almost every day. And it is not a good situation for the political system in Washington, D.C. But here's what I want to talk about. Without the presumption of innocence, there is no way for any person accused of sexual harassment to be vindicated. Think about what that'll do. Let's go back a few years. President John F. Kennedy had multiple affairs and was involved with many women. It was later revealed. Remember back in the early 60s when he was in office, there was no internet. There were only three television channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and cameras were not portable. So it was tough to get evidence, actual evidence. So everything was based on hearsay, and he was protected, as you can imagine, by those that surrounded him. And his infidelities and sexual harassment acts were never revealed until later. At the same time, there were accusations, multiple accusations, against Martin Luther King, the father of the civil rights movement in the United States. Think about it, folks. Both of those men had major accomplishments in their lives, made great changes for the better in the United States. Martin Luther King began something that has really set the African-American community in the United States free, or far more free, than ever before. In fact, since slavery, the early 60s were great years of great accomplishment by those two gentlemen. Now, if they live today in the same media environment in which these people today, Al Franken, Judge Roy Moore, and others, find themselves caught up in sexual harassment allegations, just think of what would have happened to JFK and all of his accomplishments, and those of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Great men, two great men, would have been pushed to the side, and we probably would have never benefited from the great accomplishments those two men made. Now, does that mean in any way we need to excuse any sexual harassment against any person ever? Absolutely not. But what we must do is we must find an environment in which sexual harassment charges can be proven or disproven factually. It needs to be followed by evidence, and evidence, actual evidence, needs to be the determining factor on guilt or innocence. Now, how would that possibly work? A lot of people say that these women that are stepping forward need to step forward, and I agree. They're saying that the reason, or part of the reason, why they've never stepped forward with their allegations before is because of fear of retribution, because of being too timid, too shy, being worried about losing jobs or opportunities, or being thought ill of. And all of those things could be true, and probably in many cases are the reasons. But the problem with that is We've never created an environment in the United States where there is a comfort level for these women to be comfortable enough to step forward and not be afraid of those things. We've got to create that environment. We've got to educate all women that no sexual harassment is acceptable, and every act of sexual harassment needs to be punished. The perpetrators need to be held accountable, and that we are going to create a green space for these women. And it may take a new department of the Department of Justice. It may take federal laws being passed. In fact, it probably would work better if it was handled at the federal level instead of the local level, to get some of the local and regional and state politics out of those that are accused and those that are the accusers. But if we can create that environment and create the structure within that environment where somebody who has been harassed can comfortably step forward, not be afraid of the ramifications of just stepping forward. They weren't guilty of anything. And provide within that green space the evidence that proves the wrongs that were perpetrated against them by those who took advantage of them and committed that sexual harassment. Think about what that would do. It would erase all of the possibility of the intimidating factor of being accused, not being guilty, but simply being accused of sexual harassment. If Judge Roy Moore did harass those women, any of them or all of them, he needs to be held accountable. If Al Franken did the same thing to those women, he needs to be held accountable. If is the magic word in my questions. The if needs to be erased. And the only way I know that it can be erased is for evidence to be produced. Those young women in Alabama, most of those happened 30 to 40 years ago. Evidence, probably most of, is gone. Eyewitnesses, people that were talked to who knew about it, they've lost some of the memories. Conversations cannot be recalled verbatim. And so evidence is going to be sketchy at best. And there probably, if we can go to this system, there will probably be a period there where some people are going to be hurt. Some people are not going to be able to get their day in court. And I say that figuratively because right now there's not a court system set up to handle this process. There would be if we step forward, passed laws, created this quote-unquote green space for women to come forward. The prosecutions could actually take place. But in the interim, while we're getting this set up, there may be some people that don't get their opportunity for payback. And that's unfortunate. But we've got to start somewhere. And we need to start here. Sexual harassment, one of the most horrible things in our world, in our lives, in the United States today. And we're seeing and hearing people taking advantage of it and getting unfair position of authority and power over others. That, too, has to stop. We'll be back more on our audio podcast right after these messages, right here at dnewman.org.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola, open happiness.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&Ms.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&Ms.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&M's Dark Chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes!
M&M's Dark Chocolate Candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Newman at dnewman.org. Our first segment today was about sexual harassment and some ideas that we have here about fixing that problem, or at least getting it started. Now I want to talk about something that also is on everybody's minds. It has been since the election, actually, in the fall of 2016. And that is the Russian collusion investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller against the Donald Trump campaign and all of those in it that the accusations have been flying against about collusion that impacted the 2016 election. Of course, I won't play all of the quotes that we have from various politicians and various intelligence department executives. There has been no documented evidence that has shown anywhere over the last year. As a matter of fact, that investigation had been going on even before the election. So a year and a half, maybe as long ago as 2 years it began, there is no evidence of there being collusion between any member of the Trump campaign and the Russian people that affected that election. In fact, Steve Manafort was indicted by Mueller in this investigation, and his indictment had nothing to do with Russian collusion. General Michael Flynn, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, also charged in the collusion investigation by Robert Mueller, and his charge had nothing to do with Russian collusion. So those indictments are out there, but neither for any Russian collusion that has been found in the Mueller prosecution case. And it brings up a lot of issues. Currently in the news, there are all kinds of cries for Mueller to be disqualified as special counsel. There's been unbelievable conflict of interest in the Mueller team and the investigation. Those high Justice Department and FBI officials involved in this have severe conflicts of interest. Many, or maybe even most of them, have strong ties to the Clinton campaign and have a dog in the hunt when it comes to finding problems with the Donald Trump administration. And so there is a way to make this go away. I personally cannot stand the special prosecutor law. I think it is unnecessary. I think it opens the door for partisanship and the ability for a high and very powerful, in fact, most people think at the time these investigations are underway, this special investigator is the most powerful man in the United States of America. Look back at the one that's most obvious that actually did result in an impeachment process against a president. That was against Bill Clinton. And it came about after the Whitewater affair. Ken Starr was appointed special counsel to investigate wrongdoing by the Clintons in a land deal that went awry in the state of Arkansas. And after 4 years, special prosecutor Ken Starr had nothing to issue an indictment or seek an indictment against either one of the Clintons in the Whitewater affair. But what he did find, and what Clinton was eventually charged with, was perjury in lying in a civil trial. Now, that perjury and what resulted in impeachment charges being filed against the president by the House of Representatives had nothing to do with Whitewater. In fact, it was over the perjury in which Bill Clinton said he had not had an affair with White House intern Monica Lewinsky. Now think about this. When Ken Starr was appointed, Bill Clinton didn't even know Monica Lewinsky or know who she was. And his ultimate problem that led to impeachment proceedings was about lying about an affair with a White House intern. Think about what's happened so far in the Mueller investigation. The indictments, as I said when we started this segment, had nothing to do with what Mueller was appointed to investigate: collusion by the Trump campaign with the Russians. How can we get it fixed? Well, obviously, the horse is out of the barn. There is no way President Trump can fire Mueller. He would be crucified in the court of public opinion. And of course, Congress would go absolutely nuts. They've threatened him if he did so, which he has the legal authority to do. that there would be severe and serious repercussions against the president for taking such unilateral action. So, what can we do? You know who has the power to handle these investigations and that has every bit of the power necessary to investigate, bring those guilty to task for the things that they have done or not done in these issues that result in these investigations, and have all the money and all the power in the world to do it, and are supposed to be the ones that are doing it? The U.S. Congress. Folks, Congress could be doing exactly what Special Counsel Robert Mueller is supposed to be doing. Think about this, folks. Our forefathers wrote into the Constitution the powers that Congress has, and they can conduct these investigations. In fact, they have intelligence committees, they have judiciary committees. Every branch of government is represented in Congress. Anytime there's something like this that comes up, Congress, because it is a bipartisan body, there are always Republicans, there are always Democrats, and each makes certain that the other is doing the right thing. And anytime the right thing's not being done, they will come a-hollering to the bosses. Who are the bosses? The American people. We have the ability to hold Congress accountable for what they do and don't do through the power of the vote. The unfortunate thing about Department of Justice investigators in these special prosecutor, special counsel situations is that we have no say-so in what happens. They are totally independent, or are supposed to be totally independent. They are at least independent of American voters. Congress can subpoena. Congress can force people to come and testify. Congress can subpoena evidence. They can subpoena documents, which they do, and can get all the background and history necessary to conduct a real investigation, and they have the power not only to investigate, but the power to hold people accountable. That's what needs to happen. The special investigator prosecutor law needs to go away. We do not need appointed investigators that have nothing but unfettered power to do exactly what they want to do, when they want to do it, and the way that they want to do it, and they answer to no one. That has not worked, and we don't need to go back there. There you have it. It's my opinion. We'll have some final words right after this at dnewman.org.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Well, that's going to do it for another issue of our audio blog at dnewman.org. I want to thank you for joining us today and would love to hear your thoughts. You can post at the bottom of this blog on the website. There's a comment section. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you don't want to see yours posted on the blog site, you can always send me an email, Dan at dnewman.org. That's Dan at dnewman.org. If you want to join us and make sure you don't miss anything, just enroll with your email at the bottom right corner of the homepage of dnewman.org. That way, anytime a new audio blog goes up or a written blog, you'll get a link the next morning very early. So you'll just click on the link if you want to go hear or read, and you'll never miss anything that's posted there. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell others about it, and we will look forward to seeing you again next time right here at www.deannewman.org. Until then, so long, everybody. Oh, and you change your tune.